I'm very happy to welcome Jeff Green. He's director of the organization Green Hour Schools. And Lisa Randall joins us. She's Energy and Water Conservation Program Coordinator for the Santa Fe Public Schools. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks. Good morning.
Good to be here.
Good morning. So Green Hour Schools is having a sustainability education summit this coming Saturday, the 18th of April, from 2 to 4:30 at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center. What's it all about?
Well, this is taking place in conjunction with the City of Santa Fe's official Earth Day celebration, which is going on in the morning and the early afternoon. And then our event starts at 2 p.m., and it's to bring together a lot of different educators and environmentalists and community groups who are working in different ways in the schools, and to talk about what are some best practices for environmental education, how do we transform curriculum to promote sustainability education, and what are some successful examples of what's going on in the public schools and even in a private school.
What are some examples? What kinds of things are happening in the schools now?
You know, it's pretty varied, and it's very much determined by the interest and ability level of individual educators. One of the issues that I think Jeff and I share deep concern about is there's no mandate from the federal, state, or local level to have environmental education in our schools. So anything that does happen is because individual educators or parent groups or a combination thereof or outside organizations bring that kind of environmental literacy to our kids. But there's no requirement, and that's really, I think, what this conversation is all about, is how do we begin really integrating environmental education into our classrooms and the daily lives of our students.
What does environmental education look like? I mean, how much of it is book learning and how much of it is getting your hands into the dirt?
It includes all of it. It's very varied. The North American Association for Environmental Education defines environmental education as it teaches children and adults how to learn about and investigate their environment and to make intelligent, informed decisions about how they can take care of it. It's taught in traditional classrooms and communities and in settings like nature centers, museums, parks, and zoos. Learning about the environment involves many different subjects: earth science, biology, chemistry, social studies, even math and language arts.
So there's a little bit of everything now. I would think that school gardens would have to be a big part of it.
School gardens are a huge part of environmental education. We'll have the school garden educator from Esequia Madre Elementary School. They've had a very successful program there. EarthCare will also be joining one of the panels. They've managed a number of school gardens across Santa Fe.
So what's happening at this summit this coming weekend?
One of the highlights will be the debut in Santa Fe of the Environmental Education Association of New Mexico's new 2018 Environmental Literacy Plan. And this is a plan that they hope will be adopted statewide by the Public Education Department and also by individual school districts that integrates environmental education with the Common Core standards and with the Next Generation Science standards, and really sets out a framework for the integration of environmental education across the grade levels.
I think that one thing is that's so obvious that schools and classes don't always take into account is that it's really effective to start wherever you are. So if you're doing environmental education, rather than like learn about, you know, the environment of Australia, you might go outdoors.
Yeah, or stay indoors. I mean, one of the things that we're working on in Santa Fe Public Schools and have been for the last 5 years is a reduction of our energy and water use and the building of our renewable energy portfolio. In the last 5 years, we've reduced our electrical use by 11%, natural gas by 23%, and water by 43%.
In the public schools?
In the public schools.
Wow.
We have a half megawatt of solar PV currently generating on 8 different facilities. And are assessing every facility for compatibility with solar PV. So our kids need to understand what it takes to fuel their building environment, both inside and outside, every day. What is a healthy school environment? What does that look like? And foster, I think, an idea of the new normal, that buildings should be healthy, they should be sustainable, they should be efficient, they should be responsible in terms of natural resources. And that's part of this education.
And to feel kids' own bodies, another great example in the classroom is cooking with kids. And they teach kids about local eating, healthy food. And that's not outside in the farm, but it connects with farmers.
Yeah, and so it's a very, it sounds like a very integrative education where you're learning about buildings, you're learning about food, about farming, and probably, for example, the Santa Fe River.
Right, and back to your point, Santa Fe is such an incredible natural environment with the river, the mountains, the desert ecosystem. And to connect kids with that is, I think, a really important foundation of their education. To learn where they're from will help inform who they are.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, climate disruption is very real in the lives of our kids. It's a very deep concern for them. And I think as a school system, one of our moral obligations, along with acting, you know, responsibly as a school system, as an organization, is to empower kids with ways to effectively address climate disruption, to empower them to make a positive difference in their local and global lives.
When you say climate disruption is real to them, what does it look like? Like when you take a kid and say, okay, here we are in New Mexico, here's what climate disruption looks like, what do you point out?
I think the best example is the fires we've had the last decade or so. And that's a direct impact on your breathing, on the air quality. And that's something that kids can relate to because they experience that.
I'm guessing that kids get excited about this kind of thing just because it is so real and because we evolved in nature, we're part of nature, understanding it is great. What about teachers? Is there a lot of buy-in from the teachers themselves?
It varies a lot. A lot of teachers don't have education and training in sustainability, and so it's difficult for them to bridge the gap to sustainability, but some do. We're going to have a science teacher from the Santa Fe School of the Arts and Sciences. He does watershed monitoring with his students. They actually go out to the Santa Fe River below the water treatment plant, and they do water sampling. And the Academy for Sustainable Education at Santa Fe High School South Campus is a new program also where teachers are directly making the connection to sustainability.
Is there any connection to, for example, rules made by the city council and things like that?
There is actually this very week, students from Santa Fe High School were testifying in support of the ban on selling alcohol miniature bottles, 8 ounces or less. And they actually left their high school and went along Seringo Road down to Cerrillos collecting trash, finding hundreds of these bottles, and then speaking to the city council about it.
Yeah.
Students were also instrumental in the plastic bag ban that's been controversial that the city council passed.
Yeah, that's right. And while there's no actual kind of fiscal authority from the city council over the Santa Fe Public Schools, we're a state entity, there certainly is significant and much-needed partnership in some of the initiatives that are happening within the city and within the schools. We need each other. We need to support each other in this work.
We're both members, Lisa and I, are both members of the Climate Action Task Force working groups, and that's also making the connection, and I'm chairing the school project subcommittee as part of the Water, Land Management, and Food Security working group of the Climate Action Task Force, and there's a lot of great work coming out of that task force.
Like what?
Lisa might be able to talk more about the energy recommendations that were brought forward to City Council. My working group, the Food Security Working Group, is working on their own recommendations around watershed conservation and food security.
And our recommendations were basically around energy efficiency, benchmarking buildings, looking at what buildings use and what they really need and what they should use, as well as building a renewable energy portfolio and how to fund that.
It's interesting. I've been looking at some of the statistics of how much of the nation's food comes from California.
Yeah.
Now that California is in drought, and it's, I don't know how accurate these things were, but something like, you know, 90%+ of our cauliflower, celery, almonds, I mean, like all these things that everybody, or you know, most people eat, it all comes from California. And then you start to think about, you know, how much water do we have to grow food? Like, let's say everybody started turning their backyard into gardens where that they could eat from in order to mitigate our dependence on out-of-state food. What are the numbers on that? And that's a great set of exercises for young people.
Yeah, it really is. And that's part of the systems thinking that goes along with environmental education. because it's not just about, you know, growing greens in your backyard. It's about what are sustainable farming practices and talking to the experts in that field and asking them what makes sense. You know, does a school garden on every school campus make sense? I would argue no, and I think we have some good data to say that. Do demonstration gardens make sense on school campuses? Yes, because it connects kids with that consciousness and that understanding. But should big food production gardens be happening at school campuses? Probably not a good sustainable practice. So those are the kind of community conversations that we want to have so that we can get at what is most efficient and effective and long-lasting for our kids to take away.
Right, and what are models for agriculture in Santa Fe that could be sustainable? Is hydroponics a good example that's being done at Santa Fe Community College and in other places across the Southwest? And it seems like that's a very good model that reduces water consumption and increases sustainability of the food production locally.
Very interesting. I wanted to ask both of you, what is your kind of larger vision for what the schools could be? And what do you hope to do this weekend to get that ball rolling?
Well, you know, so much of what we have done has been focused on facilities, being good stewards of natural resources and fiscal resources there. We've also developed a very robust recycling program. We have one of the best recycling rates in the city at 26%, reduced our waste to landfill by 30%. We compost cafeteria food waste in 12 of our schools. But what we're not doing is getting into our classrooms and engaging our kids, K-12 or even pre-K-12, in this kind of conversation and action. And so personally, and I think from the public schools in general, I want to listen on Saturday. I want to hear what our community wants. I want to hear best practices. I want to hear ideas. I want to answer questions if there are some. But for me, this is really about taking away ideas and actionable projects from our community, from our kids, from our teachers, and saying what can we make happen in the short, medium, and long term around environmental education in our classrooms.
Building off what Lisa said, my goal is for every student in Santa Fe Public Schools to have the opportunity for a sustainability education across the grade levels and for that to be connected to their academic curriculum. And there's some great examples of that already happening in the schools, but it needs to be expanded so it's available for every student.
Yeah.
Excellent. And so we look forward to seeing everybody there this coming weekend, Saturday the 18th of April, at the Sustainability Education Summit, which is put on by Green Hour Schools, of which Jeff Green is director. Jeff, who is going to be speaking this weekend at the summit?
We'll have about a dozen different speakers. There's two panels. The first one is Transforming Curriculum. And on that panel, we'll have Barbara Garrity, the director of the Environmental Education Association of New Mexico. Stephen Rudnick, he's a PhD environmental scientist who does presentations on climate science in various schools. Nate Moore is a science teacher at Santa Fe School for the Arts and Sciences. Molly Brooks is the school garden educator at Seca Madre Elementary. And Abby Furla is a teacher with Cooking with Kids. And then our second panel is titled Environmental Education in Action. And on this panel, we'll have Nicole Davis from Santa Fe Art Institute, and they're partnering with high school students in a food justice mentoring program. Pili Rodriguez from Tent Rocks National Monument, Ali Amon from Earth's Birthday. They're an international organization based here in Santa Fe, and they help save the rainforest in South America. Jeannie Stevens from Global Warming Express. They have an after-school program with about 100 different kids. And Maria Bernardez from the Mother Nature Center. They're an early childhood education center.
Wowie zowie. That's a lot of people.
Powerhouse.
A lot of energy. It makes it seem like we are well on the way here in Santa Fe. And I just have to say, I mean, when you think about your own education and what you learned when you were 7 mm-hmm. and 10 and 12, those things stick with you for life.
They do.
And, you know, we were learning grammar and diagramming sentences and punctuation, all of which I feel very strongly about.
Yeah.
But when you really get out and start to learn these things, that will be with these young people for the rest of their lives.
Right. It brings educational lives so that they're able to connect math and language and all the other skills they need to the real world.
Yeah. And they have some very different challenges to deal with than when you and I were kids. And,
yeah.
And it's our obligation to prepare them for those challenges.
Well, I want to thank you both so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. Jeff Green is director of Green R Schools, and Lisa Randall is Energy and Water Conservation Program Coordinator for Santa Fe Public Schools. And once again, we will see you this Saturday, the 18th of April, at the Genoveva Chavez Community Center at 2 o'clock. Thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe. We hope you will come back in the future and keep us updated.
Anytime. Love to be here.
Thank you.